Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love, is a documentary from famed filmmaker Nick Broomfield. It is the story of Leonard Cohen and his relationship with Marianne Aelen, a young Norwegian woman he met on the Greek island of Hydra in the 1960s. They became lovers. He wrote while she kept house and encouraged his artistic endeavours. But it being Hydra and the 1960s, there was lots of free love, drugs and debauchery also on offer. Once Leonard left the island to pursue a musical career, his relationship with Marianne faded. The interesting thing is that Nick Broomfield was also one of Marianne's lovers, which has given him access to archive recordings, films and photographs never seen before. Leonard did make contact with Marianne shortly before her death, saying, "Know that I am so close behind you that if you stretch out your hand, I think you can reach mine. Goodbye, old friend. Endless love. See you down the road." I spoke to Nick Broomfield earlier and asked him, was it his personal friendship and love affair with Marianne that drew him to the project?
Well, yes. I think, you know, almost more than the love connection was the influence that Marianne had on my own future and how encouraging she was that I should become a filmmaker, even though I was actually studying at that time to be a barrister. You know, Marianne was one of those people who had a very big influence. You don't meet many people like that in your life that really kind of almost change your direction of what you're doing. And when she died, I just felt that she had had such a big influence on me that I kind of wanted to recognize also what an amazing person I thought she was and how unsung, what a sort of unsung hero or heroine she was. And I know also what a big influence she had on Leonard's own career and his choices that he made, changing from being a writer to being a singer.
Marianne came from a very difficult first marriage and settled on Hydra with her son from that marriage, Axel. There she met Cohen and was said to have become his muse. Is that your understanding? And what for you, what kind of muse was she?
I mean, I guess, you know, muse is a very strange word. It sort of almost feels like a sort of 18th century thing. I think she was far more than somebody who provided lunch and was encouraging. I think she they met in 1960 when Leonard was really just trying to live as a writer. And he wrote a couple of books and wrote some poems and also wrote some scripts with Irving Layton, his friend who was a fellow Canadian poet. But they never sold and they were quite unsuccessful. And I think Marianne was very encouraging of Leonard to put some of his poems to music. He did play the guitar and he did sing to friends around the island on Hydra. And I think she was the one who very much encouraged him to write those early songs and to give him the belief that this was a good idea and this was something he could do.
Ja, jeg var hans greske muse som satt ved hans føtter. Og han var den skapende.
The days were very, very orderly. We'd get up early and have breakfast and I'd go to work. And a sandwich would be brought to me. I think I was on speed too, so I wasn't eating very much. And the day would proceed like that. I had a quota, I think it was 3 pages a day.
Yes, and it was this encouragement to get into songwriting then that led him to leave Hydra, and then with the help of Judy Collins, he pretty quickly found great fame. What effect did that he leaving Hydra have on Marianne and her son Axel?
Well, I think it caused Marianne and Axel to be left behind, really. I think Leonard Cohen went to New York. They met in 1960. His first songs came out in 1967. And he never really returned to Idra to live there for long periods of time again. I think he came back for visits, and he still enjoyed a relationship with Marianne for a number of years after that, but it wasn't that he was living there anymore. I think he spent a lot of time living down in Nashville when he did his second album, and he sort of, his life moved on. And Marianne somehow, I feel, well, never really fitted into the world of New York, the Andy Warhol world, the world of the Chelsea Hotel and Nico and Janis Joplin.
I had a great appetite for the company of women and for the sexual expression of friendship. And I was very fortunate because it was the 60s. And that possibility was very, very present. And for a tiny moment in social history, there was a tremendous cooperation between men and women about that particular item. And so I was very lucky that my appetite coincided with this very rare, what, religious, social, I don't know what you'd call it, some kind of phenomenon, you know, that allowed men and women, boys and girls we were, to come together in that kind of union that satisfied both the appetites.
She was a very elegant person, but also quite simple. And I think, you know, it was much more difficult for her to pursue the relationship off the island of Idra in a place like New York.
Can you describe what living on that island was like? Because people failed in their lives there. For example, Marianne, even though she may have been very encouraging to artists like Leonard Cohen, she had made many mistakes in bringing up her son Axel, for example, and many young children and artists failed on Idra.
Well, when I went there when I was 20, it felt like paradise. It's incredibly beautiful. It's a very small little island. With this amazing harbour and these houses rising up all around it. And there, the streets are so narrow, they're really alleyways, that it's just mules, there are no cars. And most of the houses at that time only had wells and were using candlelight. And it was also very cheap to live there, so many artists were able to follow their art, and at the same time, it was, I guess, quite intoxicating, and there wasn't really... I think the Greek people who live there have a very strong culture. They have the church, they have their religion, they have a tradition of doing things in the same way. But a lot of the sort of expat community didn't have that, and so there was a lot of... affairs between different people, and I think very few marriages survived there, and the Red Cena was way too cheap, so there was, you know, an abundance of very cheap alcohol, and I think unless you had a very, very strong work ethic, which Leonard did have, it was very hard for people to remain focused on their work. There were too many other distractions. So although there were a number of very successful artists, painters, writers, singers in the case of Leonard, to come out of Idra, there were a lot of casualties of people who didn't have the necessary resolve to keep focused, I think.
There's also a lot of acid on the island. Like, people were actually dropping acid into people's drinks. And I remember hearing reports of people having donkeys. They were riding donkeys that, like, started tripping and getting into all kinds of trouble, you know, and accidents.
They gave acid to the donkeys.
Yeah, as well as to people. I got, someone put acid in one of my drinks when I was about 13, and I had no idea what was happening. Also, a lot of casualties happened. I think, Marianne and a lot of other women were not as nurturing to their children, perhaps, or as present with them as they could have been. Axel was really a casualty of that. Marianne was going from one love to another, and often he wasn't with her. You know, so who was he with? And Leonard, you know, he wasn't Leonard's kid. He started wearing long, you know, flowing Moroccan robes, and he was silent for years. And then later he became institutionalized. But I've always felt very sad that he's been, you know, institutionalized for most of his adult life.
You've talked about the help Marianne was to you in your life. What were you to her? Were you a lover, a friend, both?
I think, you know, one has to be real. I have to be realistic, because I got there in 68, which was a year after Leonard's album had come out. He was in New York. So, you know, realistically, I think, Leonard wasn't around very much, and maybe Marianne was a little lonely, and I think one of her other lovers was away, and I just happened to be there at that time. And I remember having to jump on a ferry back to Athens when another of her lovers appeared. And I was quite surprised when she got in touch with me when I was back in England, when she'd come over with her young son, Axel, to put him in school at Summerhill School in Suffolk. But, you know, we did have a connection, and it was a very, well, for me, a very, very formative time. It was a bit sort of overwhelming because, you know, Marianne was very, you know, she was connected to a lot of other artists and singers who were, you know, active in London at that time. And I was just a student, you know, trying to get my essays done in time and that sort of thing. It was a time of great change for me, and probably a great time of change for her. And after we split up, after a few months, she went to New York to spend time with Leonard, which I think was a very difficult time for her, well, for both of them, and which they talk about in the film. So I always saw our relationship within that context, really. I think her enduring love was obviously for Leonard, and you can see that in the film right through to the very end.
This song is about the girl I used to live with. I lived with her for about 8 years. Her name was Marianne, and I used to live with her, you know, about 6 months of the year, and then the other 6 months of the year I was split somewhere else. Then I found out I was only living with her 4 months of the year, and then 2 months of the year. And then about the eighth year, I was living with her a couple of weeks of the year. But I thought it was time to write this particular song for her. I still live with her a couple of days of the year.
Come over to the window, my little darling. I'd like to try to read your poem.
Leonard Cohen and Marianne, and Nick Broomfield's Marianne and Leonard, Words of Love, is in cinemas from July the 26th. The RTÉ Concert Orchestra will be performing the songs of Leonard Cohen at All Together Now at the August Bank Holiday Weekend in Waterford. An arena will also be at that festival.